A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. We're going to have some news about a pizza restaurant that's located near the Horicon Bank out in beautiful tree-lined Wauwatosa. They're at the Mayfair Collection, so listen for that later in the show. A big restaurant name that you'll be familiar with is moving on. A former neighbor of our good friends at Horicon Bank. We'll have that news later in the show. First up, though, some big news out of Target this week. Maybe you're out on your Target run right now, but the retailer is looking inside the company to one of its own to try to turn things around a little bit. The chief operating officer is Michael Fidelke. Michael is going to step into the role of CEO in February, and he'll replace Brian Cornell, who's led the company for the past 11 years. Now, Cornell isn't leaving Target entirely. He's going to shift into the executive chairman role. But let me tell you a little bit more about Fidelke. He's a Midwest native. That's good. You know, us good community-minded people here in the Midwest make for good leaders, I think. He grew up on a farm near Manchester, Iowa. If you know your Iowa geography, Manchester is between Waterloo and Dubuque. And get this. He started at Target as an intern in the finance department and now has ascended to the role of CEO. He's, of course, though, inheriting some pretty big challenges. Target's been in a sales slump. They're losing grounds to the bigger rivals like Walmart and Amazon, who have seemingly navigated the tariff waves much better. Shoppers at Target, you know, they've been voicing frustrations lately too. Prices seem a little too high, not as exciting as it used to be. And, you know, some are saying the stores aren't as clean as they used to be. So the retailer and the new CEO, there's a lot on their plate to get back on track. I don't know. When you look at Target, it was once kind of owned this cultural relevance, right? Cheap, but really good, inclusive, bold design. They took risks. The store was about the experience. But now Walmart owns price. Amazon owns convenience. Specialty retailers own their own niches. Target's got to find its fit. So it'll be interesting to see what new leadership that's anchored in store design and the legacy of Target will do with his new role. We're going to explore local retail today with a veteran twist, a modern day apothecary out in beautiful Lake Country, Wisconsin. You're saying apothecary. What is that term? It's a person who prepares and sells medicines. Kind of an old school term for sure. But apothecaries now are really knowledgeable in herbal remedies that blend traditional practices and medicines, kind of crafting creative, holistic wellness solutions for everyone. So Tamara Key is a U.S. Army veteran. She's the founder and owner of the Herbal Key Apothecary, and she's a Wisconsin ambassador for the CJ3 Foundation. Tamara is going to join us in studio to talk about the bigger shifts in holistic healthcare, supplements, herbal remedies, and what specifically she's doing to make sure veterans stay healthy and maintain their health and wellness throughout their lives. Later on the show, then, Rich Kirchen, the senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, will join us. A lot of good headlines on his plate. Always fun to talk to Rich. But now, as we do regularly on the show, we're going to go two up.
Now, it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about now. Sign Down in Whitefish Bay. Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, the North Shore suburb of Milwaukee. It's funny, I saw as I was driving down Silver Spring Drive, this past Wednesday, I saw that the sign from the Fox Bay Theater was down and just sitting on the ground. So I just posted it on social media, and the reaction I got was fast and furious. So here's the scoop. After several decades of serving as this kind of iconic visual anchor in Whitefish Bay on its commercial district right there on Silver Spring Drive, the Fox Bay Theater sign from 1951 is down. Came down on Wednesday, was removed at the building that is at 334 East Silver Spring Drive. Used to house the now closed Fox Bay Cinema and Grill. Part of a redevelopment now that's going to transform $7.5 million live entertainment hall that's anchored by $1 million tax incremental financing district in the village. The new entity will be known as the Argo at the Fox Bay Theater. And don't worry, there's going to be a new sign. It will look like the old sign, but it will have the new name, the Argo. And the sign's going to swap out, maybe have some different colors. And I hear from the village of Whitefish Bay that the original sign could live on inside the new venue. So something to keep an eye on there for sure. Next up, Go Milwaukee Go. Milwaukee, just learned, has been nominated for a Preview Meetings Visionary Awards in the Best U.S. Destination for Meetings and Conventions. Nominated in this medium category from 500,000 to 1 million population. I'm always proud to see Milwaukee on a national stage and being nominated for these awards in these trade magazines. I think it's really important and it matters. So you can go to previewmeetings.com. It's P-R-E-V-U-E meetings.com and vote for Milwaukee. Why not? We need more business here. We need to continue to grow our convention business and anchor development right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Kudos to the good people at Visit Milwaukee for all the work they do to bring conventions to our town. Welcome back to the Upswing. Tamara Key joins us. Tamara, thanks for taking time to join us in studio today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the time.
Of course. So I wanted to talk about your business. Tell us what it is and what it's all about.
Actually, I started in Oconomowoc and then moved to Delafield. So I started doing the farmers markets in Oconomowoc in 2017.
All right.
Did farmers markets for 2 years.
Okay.
By the second year, we were selling out every week. And so at the end of that year, I thought it's either time for me to stop because it was taking up so much time or to go all in. And that's when I decided to open my first retail space.
And really taking an herbal approach to healing, not only for veterans, which I want to talk about later, but for everyone. Talk about the kind of blending the ancient and the modern in the medicine space.
Absolutely. So people often ask me or assume that I have the opinion that conventional medicine is bad.
Okay.
And I don't have that opinion. Yeah. I believe that conventional medicine certainly has its place. However, there is a lot that we can do to support our bodies and our wellness before it gets to the point you need conventional medication. And so if we can do those things through nutrition and through herbal interventions, we're really just doing our bodies a better service by taking care of ourselves more holistically.
Yeah, taking that holistic approach to health, wellness, and longevity, I think, is something we're all even more interested in now, and you got to blend all three, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you can drink a tea and it might keep you, you know, from needing a lifelong prescription, then why not just do that?
Yeah. So talk about how you blend your veteran with your community volunteer status and kind of just shape the service mix of what you offer at the business, but also keep it really mission driven.
Absolutely. So I'm an 8-year Army veteran myself.
Okay.
I can no longer serve in the Army, and so this is the way that I continue that sort of service. So it's very important to me to support my whole community, but we pay particular attention to a certain group of people, a population, if you will, and those are going to be our veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. There's a couple reasons why we do that. Number one, those are the people who keep us safe. And it's important that we give back and take care of them. But number two, there's a huge stigma in the community at large, but also in particular with these groups of people around mental health. And so if you seek out help for mental health, then often your career can be put in jeopardy or promotions or things like that. So we seek to support them in a way that isn't going to impact their careers negatively, which is why it's so important for me. So we give back through charitable contributions. I make products specifically for those folks. In conjunction with the charity that I serve, we use a lot of the same modalities that our mental health and wellness program uses down in Iowa. So we just brought them up here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. It's interesting to look at. You look at like the detox foot baths and reading nooks and tea bars. When you think about that, you're like, ooh, I'm an Army veteran. Like, that isn't my space. Like, that's not what I'm all about. But really, the healing elements within those therapies are something for everyone.
Yes. Well, and a number of us, whether you're a firefighter or you're a soldier who's been deployed or whatever you have done, we're exposed to a lot of really awful things, whether it's burn pits or, you know, toxic fumes, different. A lot of us were given shots. We have no idea what they were. And so the Ion Cleanse detoxifying foot bath really helps to pull out all of those toxins, which for that population can be any number of things. For the community, like our closer community, that could be Lyme infections. It could be mold. It could be parasites. So it really helps to pull out. And it's a very gentle kind of detox where, you know, detox is kind of a buzzword right now. Right. Everybody wants to do it.
Right.
I'm very cautious when we do interventions outside of the Ion Cleanse because some of them can be quite harsh. This is easy on the body.
Okay, we're talking with Tamara Key. She owns the Herbal Key Apothecary and is the Wisconsin ambassador for the CJ3 Foundation, which I want to talk about a little bit when we come back from the break. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, a new 3,200 square foot space opening in Lake Country, right, Tamara?
Yes.
It's where you generally say you're located.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful Lake Country, Wisconsin. The Herbal Key Apothecary. One of the services you offer is, I want to say it's really hot right now. And that's red light therapy. From your lens, why has it exploded? And talk about some of the, like, the realistic outcomes from red light therapy.
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why red light has become generally accepted across the board is because it's also something that they utilize in conventional medicine in some ways.
Okay.
It has shown, and there have been a number of medical studies where it has shown benefits to reduce inflammation, for cell regeneration, hair regrowth. It has benefits in pain reduction. So when people have, say you have a broken arm, it can help the healing process. It can speed that up. It can help reduce the pain that goes along with that healing process. In fact, the founder of our charity had, he had fractured bones in his forearm.
Okay.
And he was using the red light therapy, I think, three or four times a day. He would do a session, about 20 minutes. And it sped up his healing by weeks.
So it takes away the pain and the inflammation. Is that at the crux of it?
So I would say that it would be unfair to say it takes it away.
Okay.
But it significantly reduces it. Yep.
So how do you set expectations and, like, even safety protocols for, like, first-timers walking into red light therapy?
Sure. So,
because I think sometimes, like, tanning beds, right?
Yes.
And that kind of scares me.
Yeah.
So, like, I need to make sure when I'm going into that type of therapy that I know it's safe.
Absolutely. So our red light setup, it is a bed that you can lay on.
Okay.
And then we also have a lamp that can go over top depending on each person's individual needs.
Okay.
So it's similar to a tanning bed except for nothing closes on top of you. It is important to know that there aren't any known contraindications to red light. Okay. So kids can use it. Our older folks can use it. You know, any member of the population. Mm-hmm. You don't really feel, there's a slight warming sensation when you're on it, but you don't really feel much of anything. There's usually no tingling or anything like that. You just get to lay there and relax for a half an hour. But my one warning that
I give to... So you think that's part of almost a meditative state? I mean, that's part of the healing power of it, right?
For sure, because
and
you're
I've
able
heard
to
from
relax.
Friends that it really helps sleep as well.
Yes, definitely it can.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I say, no matter what modality or treatment we're doing, is that there is no one like perfect fix for everything.
Yeah.
So to keep that expectation in mind, like I won't ever tell anyone, well, this is going to absolutely do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can say we have seen these kinds of results.
Yeah.
And so it's likely that you'll have similar results to, you know, whatever the outcome is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your role at the CJ3 Foundation.
Yes.
Give us the overview of the foundation and kind of what you do every day to serve that group.
I am the Wisconsin ambassador for the CJ3 Foundation. So we are a veteran service organization. We are a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
We serve military veterans, police, firefighters, and first responders. We do that through four main initiatives. Our first initiative is advocacy. We have folks who out in Washington, D.C. who actually work to affect legislature. We have our own mental health and wellness facility down in Albia, Iowa.
Okay.
We provide service dogs, so task-trained service dogs for folks who need them.
Your service dog, Drax, is with us today.
He is, yes.
Really wonderful.
Yep, he's the rock star of our duo. And then our fourth initiative is field ops. So we take folks on hunts and fishing trips, things like that, to kind of promote that camaraderie that a lot of us miss when we leave service.
And during the grand opening of your store, you're going to donate a portion of the proceeds back to the foundation?
Yes. So we have already a give back program, and CJ3 is the beneficiary of that.
Okay.
But in addition to our normal percentage, we're doing 10% of all sales that day on top of the give back that we already do. We'll go straight to CJ3 Foundation.
Very good. All right. Wanted to close our conversation and kind of do a little bit of quick fire questions. You up for that, Tamara?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. What's the first class that you're really excited to teach in the new space? And remind us when the new space opens as well.
Yes. So the soft opening is September 2nd.
Okay.
And then our big grand opening event is September 13th.
Okay.
Yep. That's a Saturday. We'll be open from 9 until 5.
All right.
That day, we will have live music. There's a face painter for the kiddos. Well, nice. For adults, too, if you want
face
painter.
Sure, why not?
Yep.
Yeah.
There will be snacks and goodies. We're doing giveaways, launching a ton of new products. We will have 5 times the retail offerings that we have in our current location.
Okay.
So lots and lots of new things. You'll get to meet our new staff as well.
Nice.
And really be able to tour the space. We're going from 600 square feet to 3,200 square feet. So it's a huge change.
You have more breakout rooms, more classes, and just be able to offer more.
Yes. And the first class that we're offering in our new location is actually a collaboration. It's a financial wellness class that we're doing in collaboration with 2 financial advisors from Northwestern Mutual.
Okay.
Reason being, there are a number of people, a lot of folks, in fact, that are impacted by financial stress. And especially as we approach the holidays, it's really, really important to be able to show how we can help to manage that stress, not only from a financial standpoint, but also the holistic wellness standpoint.
Yeah. What aren't we talking about enough when it comes to health and specifically veterans' health?
In my opinion, we talk a lot about physical ailments and disabilities.
Yeah.
We don't talk nearly enough about the invisible ones. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be the ones that impact the brain, the nervous system, the emotional aspect of the body. Those are the ones we really need to focus on because they are really responsible for whether or not the physical body can be healthy.
Yeah. All right. And finally, I always like to ask, especially business owners, define success for us, please.
Success for me would be measured by my ability to help my community be whole.
That's a wonderful definition.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate all that you do. I wish you all the best with the grand opening, and stay in touch with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined in studio by Rich Kirchen. Rich is a senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, appreciate your time.
Jeff, it's great to be back.
Good. I love having you on the show. We're going to go through a bunch of your recent stories, talk about some of the most recent reporting at the Milwaukee Business Journal. It is a story on Strattec Security Corp listing its Glendale plant and corporate headquarters for sale. Give us an idea of where the property is, what's near it, and then kind of talk about the CEO's path to sale.
Yeah, well, Strattec is, first of all, they're an automotive supplier. Historically, they called it automotive lock sets. They make key fobs, latches, all kinds of things that they sell to the Detroit 3 automakers and then some of the other automakers in the U.S. primarily. At any rate, their headquarters and plant is in the 3300 block of West Good Hope Road. It's in city of Glendale, right? It's on the border with city of Milwaukee. There's a big Aurora Health Clinic not too far from there. Anyway, they've had that building, I think, since the 1950s.
Okay.
It was originally part of Briggs & Stratton, and then they spun off into their own company called Strattec some years back. They are Jen Slater became the CEO about a year ago and, just reviewed their whole operation and decided that she wanted to look at their Milwaukee facilities, their Glendale facilities. They do have a factory there, and they do have the corporate headquarters. They also have plants in Mexico. They have four plants in Mexico, as a matter of fact. And they do some of the heavy labor on their components in Glendale and then ship them down to Mexico to be assembled for final products. So as part of their review, they decided to look at their real estate, and they did put it on the market in January with a list price of $17 million.
Okay.
The industrial real estate market, like all real estate, is a bit slower right now. And they were asked, they just had their quarterly, their fiscal quarter analyst call recently, and they were asked about, well, where do things stand with that real estate, and there was no change in status. It's not like they had an offer.
Right.
But what Jen Slater said was she doesn't want to sell it for any less than she thinks it's worth, and they're in no rush. The company doesn't need the cash. They don't need the good news is they're doing well enough. They don't need $17 million cash.
Right.
They might consider a sale leaseback of that space. They say they want to stay in Milwaukee with the headquarters and manufacturing.
Well, that's good. I mean, taking a patient approach is probably good for the company's bottom line that they don't have to sell the building. Any shift reduction or job cuts as part of the relocation?
They already at the beginning of the year eliminated 20 positions in the plant. They still have 150 to 170 in there. The numbers have shrunk over the years. Like all manufacturers, part of that is automation. And that's what they're looking at.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go out to Wauwatosa a little bit to the Mayfair Collection. Totally different business, but Pizza Man, a name that we all know in the greater Milwaukee area. Pizza Man, at its location at the Mayfair Collection in Wauwatosa, said it will close August 24th, this weekend. Landlord said that his firm and Pizza Man just were not able to reach a lease extension. Pizza Man currently has a location on Downer Avenue on Milwaukee's east side. Through your reporting, you know what broke down in these lease extension talks, or was it just a factor that, hey, we're to consolidate and keep one location?
I don't really know about the consolidation part of that, but as far as the location at the Mayfair Collection in Wauwatosa, What the landlord told me was that business was great initially, and they were happy to have them. They were one of the original restaurants at Mayfair Collection.
It was nice to have a local there too.
I mean,
there's a Panera there. There's a pancake place that's local there, but it's nice to have that local feel there.
Right, and they had a Bartolotta licensed restaurant out there when they started, so they did bring some local flavor for sure. But apparently business has been slower, and it's as it has been the case for a lot of restaurants since the pandemic. Business hasn't bounced back. Mm-hmm. Lunch business has shrunk because fewer people are working in offices. So, again, I did not talk with the Pizza Man team.
Okay.
But I know there were reports they were quoted elsewhere as saying the same thing, that they were looking at the it was a 10-year lease. They were looking at how to extend that, mm-hmm. and they could not come to terms. Okay. So it's closing down.
Nothing constant but change, right?
Right, and they still do have the Downer location, right next to the Downer Theater. It's a nice neighborhood spot.
Yeah, very good. When we come back, we're going to stay on the pizza theme a bit. I want to talk to you about Palermo Villa. They're close to opening their new facility. We're talking with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. We're joined by senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, we are talking in the last segment about Pizza Man. I want to stay on that pizza theme, if you will, please.
I love pizza.
Yeah, how can't you love pizza? Palermo Villa is close to opening its new facility. Talk a little bit about the inspiration on the company side for this expansion.
Yeah, well, I talked with Nick Felucca, who's from the ownership family. He's one of their vice presidents. He talked at some length about that they had been traveling to Italy in recent years and learning more about the pizzas there and how each region has their own kind of pizza. He compared it sort of to the U.S., where we have Chicago-style, Detroit-style. Of course, there's Milwaukee-style pizza, too,
yes.
The thin crust,
indeed.
Right?
Yes.
At any rate, they took their inspiration for things they wanted to do, some new things, mostly from the Rome area.
Okay.
And so they are this new facility in West Milwaukee, which is at the site of the former Fredert Malt Towers, which were demolished. It has capabilities. It has some new technology and specialized European equipment that can make a new flavor of crust.
Hmm. Yeah, so the company's biggest bakery operation is on Canal Street.
Right.
And Palermo's bakes, I think in your reporting, was 400,000 crusts per day.
Yeah, that was – I had to ask them three times about that.
400,000 crusts per day.
So that's a big bakery.
Yeah. And then the company also makes even their own pizza. They do Screamin' Sicilian. They do the Urban Pie brands. But half of their business, in your reporting, is private label, probably for grocery stores.
Right, right.
Catering companies.
You put your brand on it, you know. And, yeah, I was surprised that the number was that high. That's a big part of their business. They've had the plant on Canal Street for a number of years. Yeah. This new one's about 3 miles away, close enough. They'll be working together on some things. They're not going to close anything on Canal Street. This is new capacity, but it's much more automated and fewer people. Hmm. They are talking about having 100 employees as of early 26, which is more. When they announced this plant, they said they were going to have 50.
Okay.
So there are more jobs. And they're only using about half of the 200,000 square feet to start off.
Okay. So about 50 new skilled jobs or so, they said?
Well, 100 jobs.
100,
Yeah. Some of them are very highly skilled and specialized. The others, they said they're going to be bringing some people over from Canal Street to do something new and different. But the other thing is with this new equipment they have there, they are looking to get more into the food service business, which would mean selling pizza crust to, again, Quick Trip. It wouldn't be specifically Quick Trip as far as I know.
But that,
to convenience stores, and then they would put their own toppings on or, so they're a little bit into food service now, but they're going to be going bigger into that, where they're selling their crust to other restaurants. If the restaurants want toppings too, they'll give them that.
Very good. Good to see the good family at Palermo is continuing to expand. On the expansion theme, the new Inc. 5000 list is out. Which Wisconsin company ranked highest on the new list?
Yeah, this is
A company I really didn't know much about.
Yes, it's called Atomix with an X, Logistics, e-commerce fulfillment company ranked number 9 on the Inc. 5000. And this is based on revenue growth from 2021 to 24. They have to have at least 2 million revenue as of 2024. This company had a 3-year growth rate of almost 12,000%.
Wow.
Now, presumably after, you know, a lowest base starting point, but still that shows they're growing pretty fast. They're based in Cudahy.
Okay.
2 years ago, moved to a 60,000 square foot fulfillment warehouse near Mitchell International. And they also have a facility in the Salt Lake City area.
Ah, all right. And we had another Wisconsin company in the top 50 at number 35?
Correct. Carbliss.
Yes.
Plymouth-based maker of vodka, tequila, and rum-based canned cocktails with zero carbs and sugar.
All right. Yeah. Last year, through the reporting, Carbliss was Wisconsin's number one fast-growing company, but number 7 nationally last year on the list with 27,000% 3-year growth rate. And that company is exploding, and they're everywhere.
I've seen the signs.
Yes. All right. Finally, let's do this when we come back from the break. I want to talk to you. You had a big story this week about Wisconsin's Enterprise Zone Tax Credit Program. 15 years in now has spurred a lot of growth. I wanted to dive into your reporting there and get your insights. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, all about community and commerce. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us. Rich, you had a marquee story this week about the 15-year anniversary, if you will, of the Wisconsin Enterprise Tax Zone Tax Credits program. Spurred a lot of construction projects in the region, job creation and job retention, including a lot of that here in Metro Milwaukee. Let's just kind of do the 101 on the program. What criteria do businesses need to qualify for the tax credits?
These are typically larger companies that are looking at major either new projects or expansions in Wisconsin.
Right.
So if it's a smaller business, there are other programs of the state, other financial incentives from the state. But this is the one for the big projects.
Okay.
And companies need to prove basically to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that if they didn't get this incentive from the state, they might expand or build elsewhere in another state.
Okay. So what do the numbers say about the ROI, if you will?
Yeah. The ROI is what's in it for what the state does here is they offer – it's not a grant. They don't say we're giving company X $25 million.
Right.
It's a tax credit, which is a reduction in their income tax that they pay to the state. So the state loses some tax revenue, but the idea is that they're probably generating more because this company's growing. It's got employees. It's generating business for suppliers around the state. So I haven't seen any specific ROI, but Yes, you can look at the bottom line. There's been somewhere around 35 projects that have received these tax awards, and they have created hundreds of millions. I think it's approaching $1 billion in investments in the state, and lots of jobs.
Yeah.
Number at hand, but it's tens of thousands of jobs.
And a lot of marquee projects, of course, too, within a variety of sectors. It's not just manufacturing, but it's across the board.
It has, you know, Quick Trip is on the list, for example. But there are a lot of manufacturers. Milwaukee Tool, until recently, was the largest recipient of these. Komatsu Mining, the old Joy Global Harnischweger business with their new plant in Milwaukee. The recent one, the most recent and the largest now, $100 million tax award is for Eli Lilly and their new plant in Pleasant Prairie. And then Yaskawa America, which is from Japan, and had a small plant in Oak Creek, is now doing a big project in Franklin that was just announced this summer. So that's going to create several hundred jobs in the area.
And that's what it's all about. recruitment and retention and growing the economic tax base for the region.
For sure.
I appreciate your reporting. I appreciate your time, and we'll do it again very soon.
Sounds good, Jeff.
All right. Thanks, Rich. A friendly reminder, you can always text UPSWING to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. Really easy. You'll get all past episodes delivered to you. You can listen to them on your own time. A whole lot of fun. All proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Next week on the show, we're going to prepare you. I'm sure you're going to be grilling. It's going to be Labor Day weekend. You got an extra day off, easing into the great Milwaukee fall and autumn season. The dining critic from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Rachel Bernard, is going to join us. Rachel, lots of new places opening, a few places closing, some trends, some tricks, maybe some tariffs. We're going to talk to Rachel about the dining scene in greater Milwaukee and even look across the state in terms of what's happening in the space. I'm really excited. Rachel will join us in studio next week right here on The Upswing.